You're listening to Hour Number 2 in the Doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. 7:30, 103.9 The Ump. Hour number two here in the Doghouse. It has been a terrific Tony Mack week here. That's me, by the way. Filling in for the big dog who was at the beach, and I'm glad that everybody else feels for me, too. I mean, Scott Ramsey, the music guy from Music City Bowl here, is about to come on the show. I will give you his official title when I introduce him, because it's not just guy from Music City Bowl. But he shares my disdain for Tom being able to go to the beach and leave T-Mac, poor old little T-Mac, behind. But Scott, before I introduce him here, I don't want to mislead him. I also got to go to the beach at the end of October for my honeymoon, so I got to spend some time as well at the beach. And Tom's rubbing it into me, just like I rubbed it into him. But that's okay. I get left behind. I get to talk about football. I get to talk about bowl season, which I couldn't ask anything for. I don't get paid to do radio normally. I have to wait for Tom to leave. So it's my turn to fill in while he's gone. And to do that, we're going to talk with the president and CEO of the Music City Bowl, Scott Ramsey. We're going to talk about the 20th. And this is the 20th anniversary of the Music City Bowl. Am I correct on that?
You are. And, I think maybe, Tom might be losing his spot there. You know, he keeps letting you take over the show. But, no, we miss him. Send him our best, and I appreciate you guys always having us on. And, yeah, it's our 20th anniversary. It's hard to believe. You start thinking back when you hit milestones sometimes of the great games and players and events that kind of happened over the 20 years and maybe the evolution and growth of our game here in Nashville along with the city itself. And, you know, it's kind of a fun look back on memory lane sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking back at some of the results and remembering some growing up. I'm only 26 years old, so the conception of this bowl game, I kind of grew up with it, and I forgot how many close games there were. There were out of the 19 games we've had, 13 of them were decided by one possession, and a lot of that might have to do with the great crowd that follows. The attendance for this game's always been really good. 6 sellouts for this bowl game, including the last year's game with Tennessee-Nebraska, but Kentucky is the SEC representative this season and has been a part of a couple of sellouts in this bowl game's history. This is their 5th appearance, I think. Are you guys anticipating another sellout, or what's that looking right now as far as participation in this bowl game?
Well, plenty of tickets are available this year. You know, I think every year is a little bit different, and certainly sure. You're right. Kentucky has been just a very unique partnership with Nashville and Music City. Itself over many sporting events, the SEC basketball tournament, of course, several regular season games they've hosted here, and then this is the 5th time they played in our bowl game, more than any other university. And we just have a great relationship with not only Mitch Barnhart, their athletic director, but all their fan base as well. So we're looking forward to a great crowd. I think, you know, anytime you have a small private school like the Northwestern, we've had Wake Forest, we've had Boston College, we've had some more of the small private schools, it's hard to kind of generate that other side of great demand. But we expect to have a great crowd, and you're right. I think the last 5 or 6 years, you know, we've been in the averaging in the mid to upper 50s, which is more than, you know, I would say 95% of the other games. And I think that's a great testament to people's love for coming to our city and the regionality piece of our selection process. And some of the matchups have been unique. It's the first time Northwestern Kentucky have played since the 1920s. and we're able to put two games together that a few games together that just don't happen on a regular basis. So that's been good as well.
Yeah, exactly. You guys have done a really good job at making sure you pick the right matchup for multiple reasons, and one of those is Kentucky and Northwestern. I haven't played each other in a while. That's a good refresher. It'd be nice to see something a little different. And as you mentioned, Kentucky's been in this game a lot. This is their fifth appearance. They're 2-2 in this game. Big crowds have followed them, I think, with the 63,000-person average at all of their games, and all four of them have been one-score games. Now Kentucky and Northwestern are familiar with each other, as you mentioned. Do you think we can see another one-score game and another exciting Music City Bowl this year?
Well, I sure hope so. I think two of the more underrated running backs in Jackson and Snell we're going to see in the game for Northwestern and Kentucky. You know, if the ground games get going, that it should be a relatively quick game and hopefully a very close game. I mean, it's certainly something that helps us. One of our goals is to maximize television ratings, and to do that, you know, close games do that better than games that aren't close. So we're hopeful. That's one of the things you can't control. But you try to put some teams together we think are evenly matched, and we'll be passionate about coming to our city, and both of these schools really are. Obviously, we've got one school that's a little smaller from a normal base, like you would think of from a Nebraska or a LSU or, and a Louisville or somebody like that with huge bases. So, we'll be a little bit more challenged on the attendance side, but not going to be from the excitement standpoint. I think sometimes when you get the smaller bases like that, they come and stay longer periods of time. So from the city's perspective and business standpoint, it can average out pretty quickly for you.
Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of the Music City Bowl, here with us. Yeah, I think you're right. A lot of that staying power, I think, with the fans staying around has to do with the incredible city that you guys have the pleasure of hosting this game in. It's in the city of Nashville. I believe it's been there the entire year. It's been around Music City Bowl, but it hasn't been in Nissan Stadium the whole time because I think Nissan Stadium wasn't standing at the time of the first year or two. It had to be at Vanderbilt Stadium, I think, but it's been around the city of Nashville, and that's a treat that a lot of people that haven't been there get to experience, and I grew up in Nashville, so the city of Nashville is also a fantastic place. You guys are very lucky to be able to put this game there.
Well, I think one of the things that we've very consciously tried to do is try to build an event around the game.
And, absolutely.
It takes a little time, especially when you're just doing it once a year. So it takes a little time to kind of build that, build a reputation, build a sequencing of events that fans are going to engage in. Second thing is I think our downtown's second to none when you're holding an event. We really feel like a tight campus. You can create a lot of energy and excitement around the atmosphere of fans in the game. You can walk to the stadium. You can walk to the Broadway area where entertainment is. We're going to activate Broadway again this year with music at stage, live cooking, food, exhibits. And then certainly the day after the game, we've got the Predators. 2 days after, we've got the Titans Jags. We've got Keith Urban playing New Year's Eve show. We got Jimmy Buffett playing. So I think we've built a 4 or 5 day package around sports and entertainment that our city's known for, and our downtown just holds it as well as any.
Absolutely. I was scrolling through this thing a couple days ago when getting ready for this, and it's not just, as you mentioned, it's not just the game that makes this Music City Bowl experience special. It's the surrounding events, and it's such a long, you sit there and you continue to scroll and scroll, and it seems like the page isn't going to end with all of the events that you seem to surround this game around. And it's incredible, but talk about some of the things that the players get to experience, like the wrestling event I think they have, and some of the things that the fans get to experience, like Battle of the Bands.
Well, I think the first thing is, if you're listening, jump on MusicCityBowl.com, and you can get an app now and kind of roll through all the details and all the events. So there's some events that fans can buy tickets and come to, like our coaches' luncheon. We obviously are space limited there, but I think we still got some available. You can come down free for Battle of the Bands. I mean, the night before the game, one of our signature events, college bands play, and then we've got some bands that play after. And it's a great party. We block off a couple blocks of Broadway, and it's just a great fan engagement event. We got a pep rally for the teams the day of the game. We've got Journey cover band, the Cult Resurrection, which are tremendous for a concert back on Broadway after the game. And then, of course, we're tying into some of the things for the players. You mentioned a wrestling event. Jeff Jarrett and Global Force Wrestling have done a private wrestling event for just the players, and we honor and host about 50 or 60 Wounded Warriors during the week, and they attend with the players, and we do it in a ballroom of a hotel, and it's close off for the players, and it's been a great fun event for us to kind of do that, and something unique, and again, just trying to make it a fun and memorable experience for all the players.
Wow, I'm not that far from Nashville. Tom might have to find a fill-in producer that week, because you might have to grab me a couple tickets to go up there. I mean,
he owes you one. He owes you one.
Absolutely, he owes me one. I'll make sure that I tell him Scott Ramsey told him that. But this is the, as you mentioned at the beginning here, this is the 20th anniversary of the Music City Bowl. Is there anything other than the other special thing you guys have going around this game? Is there anything specifically special planned for the 20th anniversary? I understand the presentation of the bowl is always spectacular, yeah. But can we expect anything big specifically for the Big 20?
Well, we talked a lot about it, and I think what we wanted to do is just showcase the city like we've always showcased it. It's a great milestone. It's fun to talk about. I think we'll have some media stories and some look backs at some special players or games or moments. But as far as the game itself, we want to celebrate Kentucky, Northwestern, all their fans being in the city, the players that come, and some of them playing their last college game, we think are a great celebration of that. And so we didn't really want to distract from what we thought was the primary reason we're doing the game. But at the same time, we wanted to honor a great milestone for our city and a great partnership with our conferences and ESPN as well.
Absolutely. And you've stated several times how so many different aspects of this bowl game makes it special. It's special for the fans. You guys make sure that there's things the fans can enjoy other than the game. It's special for the players, but it's also special for the city. You guys have the bowl gives back. Will you explain that to me and the listeners a little bit, why it's important to even to the city that this game is a success?
Well, we felt like, you know, when you're putting on an event like this and you're hosting, you're asking for a lot of people to invest in it. It's also something you want to try to give back as much as you can. You know, we've had a program now for, I believe it's 12 or 13 years running, where we host youth football players and their families and coaches. The players themselves get free tickets to the game. We put them on the field pregame. We put them in the program. And it's a regional league of 22,000 kids that are part of it. If you win your age group in any league, you get to come. And we've really kind of felt like that's kind of created some loyalty to the game that's given back to the kids that are playing football, and it was very specific to that. Delta Dental is a great sponsor. They give all the kids mouth guards, and that's one way we did it. Last year we gave a great contribution to the Dolly Parton Fund for the wildfires in Gatlinburg. We certainly honor a Make-A-Wish kid as kind of an honorary captain as part of Franklin American Mortgage's program. So we try to kind of be very deliberate about it, but also as aggressive as we possibly can, as any good, I think, corporate citizen would be.
Scott Ramsey of the Music City Bowl here with us. And now Scott, before I let you go, once again, just remind everybody where they can go to find tickets, where they can go to find all the information about this incredible event, not just a football game, this incredible event that you guys have going on.
Yeah, jump on musiccitybowl.com. Actually, we've got a good promotion going right now. We've got some lower end zone seats are available, and it's a buy three, get one. So it's kind of me plus three, which is a great way to come with a bunch of friends and buddies and have fun in Nashville for Thursday and Friday, see the game, and maybe stick around the weekend to see the Preds or Titans or go to somewhere where you can hear music, which is about everywhere in the city. So love to have everybody come down and spend a few days with us there around the New Year's holiday weekend.
Scott, we appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for joining me and allowing me to take over for Tom and still continue to interview about this great event. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and you guys take care, and hope you travel safely.
I will. I will absolutely do that.
See you later.
Thank you so much. Scott Ramsey, President and CEO of the Music City Bowl. Now, that's just another reason to love the city of Nashville. I freaking love that place. All right, now, so there's some other news. Before we get to the big dog here, we got a few more minutes. Some other news happening yesterday. We're stepping out of the realm of football for just a moment. We spoke with Greg Peterson yesterday, of college basketball expert with My Guys in the Desert. I wish this could have happened the night before so I could have talked to him about it yesterday. Because this is huge. I mean, he couldn't have picked this upset as much as he knows about college basketball. Number five, Florida. We talked about the SEC being good. Florida's already got three losses now after losing yesterday. But they were still ranked fifth in the country. Their losses were at Florida State was acceptable. Number one, Duke was absolutely acceptable, and they only lost to Duke by three. But this is their third loss in a row, and I've never heard of them until now. Loyola Chicago upset Florida. We're not in a bracket yet. This isn't March Madness yet. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that yet, are we? Can we do that? We can have things do like that? I mean, that's a huge tournament resume right there for Loyola. Should we just go ahead and cancel the rest of their season and just tell them, yeah, you're good. Just take the rest of the season off. You're in. Don't worry about it. You're in the tournament. That's a big, they're 9-1. Florida's 5-3, but Florida, I'm assuming Florida's had a way tougher schedule. This was in Gainesville, by the way. Can you imagine the Florida fans in there yesterday? Florida, you had to be pissed. You could not have been happy. 65-59 to Loyola Chicago. That's a dealership, right? Loyola's a dealer. That's Toyota, excuse me. They're the Ramblers. The Loyola Chicago Ramblers. You've got a hyphen in your name, and you're the Ramblers. You do not. You're not allowed to win in Gainesville. Florida, what's wrong with you? Wow. Staying on college basketball, Greg Peterson said yesterday that Alabama had a really big game coming up, which took place on the air last night. Now, Alabama's got an even bigger one on Saturday. They go on the road to take on Arizona, who was previously the number 2 team in the country. Had a skid in the tournament where they lost to Tennessee and a couple other, they lost 2 or 3 in a row. Dropped the unranked, but upset number 7 A&M the other day. So, they're still an extremely talented basketball team. With DeAndre Ayton, probably one of the top 2-3 guys in the country, Alabama will travel to Arizona to take on the Wildcats on Saturday. But last night, Alabama had a big game, according to Greg Peterson. They took on Rhode Island. Yeah, Rhode Island's a pretty good basketball team, and Alabama beat them 68-64. Another really good win for the Crimson Tide Hoops. Your stars, of course, shined once again. No eye-popping numbers this time. The wealth was way more spread out. Colin Sexton didn't drop 40. They spread the wealth. Dante Hall had 13. 13 and 14. He had 13 points, 14 rebounds. Colin Sexton, 11 points, 4 boards, no assists. John Petty had 12 points with a couple boards, 4 assists. Dazon Ingram had a good game as well with 10 points. You had four of your 5 starters in double digits. Riley Norris only had 2 points, but he only shot 4 times. That's great. John Petty, Ingram playing 30-plus minutes, Sexton only playing 17, being limited. Great win. Great win for Alabama, setting them up again. They've had one upset to a bad UCF team. Their only other loss was to number 14 Minnesota, which they still played them really well with 3 guys. So a lot of good news out of the SEC, spreading the wealth in basketball. The SEC, I said it a couple years ago when they hired all these coaches. Of course, you guys didn't know me then. I wasn't affiliated with the radio station a couple basketball seasons ago. But the SEC has been waiting for a moment like this, and they're not done. They haven't reached their peak in basketball by any means. Auburn is a quiet 7-1 right now. They beat Gardner-Webb last night, 80-55. Not a big opponent, but that's someone you're supposed to put away, and that's what Auburn did. Anthony McLemore led the way, 17 points, 11 boards. Vandy's been disappointing for the SEC. Lost to MTSU last night, 3-6 now in the SEC, or 3-6 overall, 3-3 at home, but it's not just Kentucky anymore. Kentucky's not the highest-ranked team in the SEC. Florida was. A&M was. Kentucky might be now because they both lost, but A&M lost to a good opponent, at least. Florida lost to Loyola Chicago. And I don't even know if Loyola... Let's see, does Loyola even have anybody else on their schedule? No. Looking at it right now, no. Wow. So we might see them in the tournament. They're going to get a lot of buzz. Basketball season's going to get a lot of praise for a win like that. Acid reflux is killing me. Dang it. I just remembered. Before we get to a break, I just remembered I forgot to ask Scott Ramsey about Die Hard. We're going to ask Tom. Tom will probably say no, but I'm going to tell him that he's wrong too. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I will have the big dog for you if you've been missing him. He will be here just for a few minutes to discuss probably Cleveland, but definitely Tennessee, and I'm going to ask him about Die Hard. We'll be right back. More Tom Abraham Show after this. It is Sports Radio 730, 103.9 The Ump.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's Thursday Night Football. The New Orleans Saints will look to maintain the lead in the NFC South as they go on the road to take on the Falcons in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Coverage starts at 7 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter. I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
Variety and price. What else can you say about Alabama's oldest smoke shop, the Humidor Pipe Shop?
I smoke cigars and pipes, both.
Being the oldest shop, they've got brands that have been around a long time, but they also have all the new brands as well.
I've traveled all over the country, and this is as singularly as good a place to buy variety as I've ever found. The prices are significantly better than anybody else around.
The Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest, now open Sundays, noon to 6.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Are you hurt and can't work? Then you need Social Security Disability. I'm Cliff Hill, attorney, and I've helped more than 1,000 people just like you get their disability. You're not asking for a handout. You deserve the compensation. It's your money. When you call me at 534-4502, you're going to meet with me, and together we will develop a winning strategy. I'm so confident in my work that if I don't win your case, you don't owe me a dime. I'll even put it in writing. So call me at 534-4502, Cliff Hill at Hill & Jordan.
Touchdown! College football is finally back.
Let's go!
And the best place to catch all the games is Jefferson Street Pub in downtown Huntsville.
A 140-inch screen and four other flat-screen TVs.
So you won't miss a minute of the action. Thursday nights, $5 bottles of wine. Saturdays, 100-ounce Bud Light Towers for only $10. Plus appetizers and entrees for the game. Your new football headquarters is Jefferson Street Pub in downtown Huntsville. 111 Jefferson Street, just behind the parking garage.
Let's go!
The 8-4 Tennessee Titans head out west to the Valley of the Sun, University of Phoenix Stadium, to play the Arizona Cardinals. The award-winning Titans countdown is on the air at 2 Central. Then the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Coach Dave McGinnis call the action of Titans and Cardinals with a 3:05 Central kickoff. It's the Titans and the Cardinals this Sunday on this Titans radio station.
On your new home for the Titans, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Roy Moore is getting desperate and has now resorted to calling me names. I'm Doug Jones, and I owe it to you to tell you where I stand. I served as U.S. Attorney, as a prosecutor to put criminals in jail and defend the Constitution. I enjoy hunting and shooting, and if you saw the number of guns I own, you know I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment and for judges that support it. I'm a person of faith, and I try to live my faith every day. I'm for lower taxes on the middle class, against deficits, for a strong military, and for your right to see a doctor whenever you're sick. No one in Washington, not Chuck Schumer or Mitch McConnell, is going to tell me what to do. I answer to Alabama, and I'll work with Senator Shelby to get things done for Alabama. And with your help and your one vote, I'll try my best to be a senator that will make you and Alabama proud. I'm Doug Jones, running for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Doug Jones for Senate.
Weather is sponsored by your locally owned Domino's. Domino's loves you so much they're giving you 50% off the menu price on all pizzas when you order on Domino's.com. Online only and valid November 27th through December 7th. Availability and charges may apply.
Occasionally cloudy this afternoon, the high in the upper 40s at 49. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy with the low at 26. For tomorrow, a new surge of cold air drops in from the north, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 41. And for Saturday, partially sunny with a high at 49. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. We're already halfway through hour number two. A fast-moving week so far, and a great setup for today's show. We just had Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of the Music City Bowl. Now we're moving on to the meat and potatoes of this whole thing, what everybody's been waiting to hear. We got the big dog on the line. He's ready to come in here and talk about the big news of the day. We all know what I'm talking about. It's had a lot of buzz since 1998 surrounding it. Now, big dog, I don't even have to tell you what it is, but I'm going to. I mean, we all know. I got to get it off my chest. Baker Mayfield won the AP College Football Player of the Year.
There's a shocker.
Well, I had to get that
did
out
Johnny
there.
Did Johnny Manziel present him with it or what?
Well, you know, it's the fourth Oklahoma player to win it, and it was conceived in 98. That was the 98 reference. I was trying to direct you towards Tennessee because that was the last time they won a championship. But, in fact, it was the AP College Football Player of the Year. Four Oklahoma players have won it. Only two players from any other school have ever won, and Oklahoma has the most. So I just wanted to bring
that up. Are you doing all music from Oklahoma artists on Throwback Thursday today? You could do like all Garth Brooks and, you know, anybody's from Oklahoma, Carrie Underwood, you could do all of that stuff.
That is not a bad idea, but no, I am not. I actually just left the bumper music in here. I didn't feel right doing a Throwback Thursday without you. And it's been fast moving, big dog. I'm not going to lie to you, but let's do jump into what we actually called you for. Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt. He's going to continue to coach for Alabama going through the playoffs. But we didn't see that necessarily a concern for Kirby Smart when he did it a couple of years ago. But do you see that as a potential issue?
Well, there was a little bit of an issue with Kirby in the recruiting side of things. I mean, these guys are ostensibly recruiting the same guys, the same players. So, to me, that's one of the concerns, unless there's some sort of a handshake deal that says, look, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is so thankful to Nick Saban and the opportunity he got there that he, you know, agrees to not talk to any targets that they're already in the process or any existing commitments, you know, that Alabama has. So the recruiting part of it's an issue. The coaching part of it I don't think is with him. It's a different personality than Lane Kiffin. The thing is that if, you know, remember, Kiffin was going to stay through the playoffs too, and then it became untenable, and he bailed, you know, in that period of time between the playoff game, the semifinal game, and the final. That's not acceptable. 7 days, that's not acceptable. So, you know, hopefully they've made a decision that, you know, this is it, and if they do go ahead and win that game, that he's going to be there right through the bitter end.
Yeah, and, well, regardless of what you think of for Alabama, that's the guy. Tennessee fans got their guy finally, and if you're thinking strict, well, you think so, apparently. Anything could happen as far as we've been concerned, but as far as we know. But Jeremy Pruitt is the guy, and Tennessee fans are reacting well to it. I know that you brought up some troubling things I didn't know about of why he might have left, rumors of why he actually left Florida State, but we'll get to that in just a second. But the actual coaching aspect of Jeremy Pruitt, do you think he'll be a successful guy at Tennessee? He's got that tough defensive mindset that they desperately need.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the good part of it. We really don't know how a guy is going to do we? I mean, this is his first time as a head coach at any level, so we really don't know, and that's why I always get a kick out of watching, whether it's the Tennessee fan base or any other fan base on Twitter. You know, they all have opinions how this is a good fit and this guy wasn't a good fit. And half of these people have never moistened a jock. The other half of them have never put an X next to an O. And they're telling us about, you know, who's going to be a good coach and who's not going to be a good fit and everything else. And every time you hire a coach, for the most part, there's a bunch of people that are all fired up about it. They loved Butch Jones coming in there. So will Jeremy Pruitt be a good coach? I think so. I mean, I think he's a good X's and O guy. The concerns that I would have is that he's moved around quite a bit. You know, he did leave Florida State after just 1 year. There were rumors about a girl in a volleyball shorts in the athletic department, you know, with him and you know, how that happened so quickly. But apparently there's different degrees of morality, you know, when you're hiring the coach. And we don't know if he's – we just don't know. I guess, enough as to how he's going to do that way, you know, as a head coach when you're running the whole program yourself. Now, the other thing I'd be concerned about with them is, I mean, he's an Alabama guy. I mean, this isn't a guy that just coaches at Alabama. This is an Alabama guy who from Alabama, who went to Alabama, and, you know, he's coached there several times. And, you know, at some particular point in time, Nick Saban's going to exit stage left. And if he has any success whatsoever, he'll be on that Dabo Sweeney list of guys that are Alabama guys that, you know, that may get called back to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
I think that would concern me a little bit if I was a Tennessee guy. How long are you going to have him?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I didn't think about him being put on that Dabo train there, too. But, yeah, I understand the concern of a guy never being a head coach before, but if you want to look at his resume, some place to just kind of reside and feel good about yourself is the success he's had at every level. I mean, as the DB coach or wherever he was at Alabama, the first 2 years, won a championship in 11 and 12 there, went as the 1 year as a defensive coordinator in Florida State, maybe had some off-field issues, but on the field, he won a championship there, and then went and turned a Georgia defense into a top 10 defense in just 2 years before he left there. So that's something, that's a positive you can take away from that. But something that's kind of troubling is the rumors that Hugh Freeze might potentially be considered as the offensive coordinator. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I saw that story. And I don't know, maybe the knucklehead Clay Travis was one that started it, or maybe it's real. I thought it was a spoof because of the rumored infidelity, if you will, of a Jeremy Pruitt. And by the way, he was engaged, not married, at the time where he allegedly, you know, was a little bit active as a ladies' man in at Tallahassee. I mean, why would you leave there? Everybody was like, why are you leaving in 1 year? You win a national championship and you just leave? Everybody knew there was something else to that story. But if Tennessee is putting themselves on this high moral road, really, Hugh Freeze? I mean, for all we know, Hugh Freeze and Jeremy Pruitt may have the same numbers in their phones, you know, of certain ladies. So, yeah, I don't know. That would be a really weird thing to have them to do. And then, of course, Tennessee, people started tweeting out stuff about, you know, four national championships, and they put the four in Tennessee orange, you know, for the national championships that Jeremy Pruitt was a coordinator with Alabama
and
Florida State. And, you know, it's just, I always find it humorous when these programs, you know, start to spin things to their benefit, you know. Auburn did it with the national championship. You know, they give Gus Malzahn more credit for the national championship in 2010 than they give Gene Chizik. It was Gene Chizik's team. Gus was the coordinator and did a wonderful job, but they always talk about, well, he led us to two national championships. Well, no, Gene Chizik won one. And he led you to the national championship game in 2013. But, you know, I get it. That's the hype machine.
Sure, it's a hype machine, and it's kind of silly, isn't it? I mean, you want to give him credit for being a part of those national championships because, sure, he had a big part in that. But to go out and put a big graphic on it, it is a little silly and a little misleading. But, hey, it's part of the hype train. Fan is short for fanatics, and that's the kind of stuff they want to get behind. But let's not gloss over the fact, and I know you alluded to it, but let's not gloss over the fact that not only did he allegedly cheat on his fiance at the age of 39, his fiance was also 23 years old at the time.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
That was kind of weird, but I mean, you know, more power to him, but that was, you know, that was kind of odd. And from what I understood in the story, it was leave Tuscaloosa or the wedding is off. So, leave Tallahassee, I should say. Let me rephrase it. Leave Tallahassee or the wedding is off. And again, this is all just chatter, and it doesn't get brought up if the whole thing with Chiano didn't blow up the way it did. And we don't know, you know, we went to the end of that deal not really knowing anything that ever happened at Penn State with Greg Schiano. Most people refuted all of those nasty rumors. So, you know, they're getting a good, tough-minded coach. They're getting a defensive coach. I thought that, you know, if you're a Phil Fulmer fan, he did the right thing. He talked to the defensive coordinators at the three best programs in the SEC. He recognizes the kind of football that needs to be played to be winning in the SEC, like they're at Auburn and Alabama and Georgia now. So he's going to try and model something after that. And, you know, that's what happens. They're going to keep coming after coaches at those programs, and, you know, maybe they're going to get it right.
Yeah, a lot of Saban disciples in the SEC now, too, at the head coaching spot, which we'll talk about in just a second. I definitely will get into that. But I guess we got to start developing a new motto for Tennessee now. Like, come to Tennessee, all the on-field stuff is fine, but watch your back because one of your coaches might be sleeping with your girlfriend. You know, like if you get Hugh Freeze over there, too, I mean, that I could see where that would be a kind of a joke there. But let's do talk about some of the Saban disciples now being in the SEC. I mean, think about all the success. Will Muschamp, not necessarily incredibly successful as a head coach, but you've got
coming. No, he's doing a nice job.
Sure.
He's building something. He learned something, I think, through his experience at Florida. And plus, Florida can't, they can't deal with a defensive type of coach anyway. So I think that was part of it. But he's got something that's building, at South Carolina. Of course, Kirby is doing great.
Yeah.
But I always felt like Kirby would be great anyway. For whatever reason, I felt like that was the guy. And he's at his alma mater. And I think that's a big part of this. He's at his place. Jim McElwain, all he did was win two SEC East Divisional Championships. But he got whacked in the conference game, and they ran him out of there. It'll be interesting to see where McElwain ends up. Who's going to be the offensive? Who really is going to be the offensive coordinator at Tennessee? They've got a lot of options there. So it looks like it's not going to be T. Martin, but there are a lot of pretty good offensive minds that are floating around the country right now that are looking for work. So I think that'll be a big part of it as to what happens there.
Absolutely, and now you've got the potential of Greg Pruitt, another Saban disciple at Tennessee, and
Greg Pruitt. You mean Greg
Jeremy?
Pruitt,
I'm sorry.
Oklahoma running back Greg Pruitt. You can't get anything off your. It's all Oklahoma with you, right? It's all Oklahoma. Stem to stern, Greg Pruitt, number 34, back in the day for Barry Switzer. No, Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah, not related. From what I understand, they're not related.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt's related to a high school coaching legend in Dale Pruitt. Greg Pruitt. I was actually looking at a list earlier, an Oklahoma list, and unshamefully that. That's why that name popped into my head. But, yeah, you got Jeremy.
I was a huge Greg Pruitt fan, by the way. Huge Greg Pruitt fan back in the day, the tearaway jersey. And he was a great, great back for Cleveland.
Well, I just heard rumors. I wasn't necessarily around to see all that. But you've got Jeremy Pruitt now at Tennessee. And you've got Jimbo Fisher, another Saban disciple, at A&M. And then maybe not a disciple of these guys, but an urban disciple in Dan Mullen at Florida. We talked about when the SEC West was a powerhouse and the SEC as a whole was just so deep and it's transitioned away from that to being top heavy. With all these good coaching moves and the potential of some of these guys that's moved into the conference, now are we on our way back? Because I feel like we are.
From a depth standpoint, you would hope so. I mean, look, we turned over half the coaches in the league, so we'll see what happens there. But from a depth standpoint, you add Jimbo to the mix. Mullen to Florida makes Mullen better than Mullen at Mississippi State. If I'm a fan of Mississippi State or Ole Miss, I'm not jumping up and down thinking that anything great's there. They're going to be probably bringing up the rear in the West.
Yeah.
But if Pruitt can get it going, and Florida's going to be great. Kirby is great with Georgia. I think that South Carolina's on the come. Look what Barry Odom did at Missouri, the way they reeled off 7 wins after having a tough start to the season. So now you got to look at them a little bit. I can't believe Derek Mason still has a job at Vanderbilt. But we'll see. Now with Pruitt, if he can get that program going in the right direction, then it's it. But look, the SEC's fine. The SEC's got two teams in the Final Four.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everybody wants to smash on the SEC. What conference really has great depth?
Exactly.
I think because of scholarships and because of the talent being spread out from a coaching standpoint all around the country, I don't think there is a conference, and we may never see again another conference that is 7, 8, 9 teams deep that are really good. If you get a couple of real good teams at the top of the heap, and then you got some tough teams that are in the middle, you're fine. And you can and look right now, the SEC had three of the top 7. What's Auburn ranked? 7th, 6th, 7th, somewhere in there, 8,
yeah.
Something like that.
7 or 8.
Three, and I'd take Auburn and Alabama and Georgia in any conference in the land. This talk about the SEC and the struggles of the SEC, I think, is highly overrated.
Sure, I can absolutely get behind that. And you were mentioning some of the great offensive minds kind of moving around, and you just had Josh Heupel, the offensive coordinator of Missouri, take Scott Frost's place at UCF. But also, you've got Chad Morris, who did some good things at Clemson, brought that offense up, and he's in Arkansas now. Do you like that hire?
I like that hire a lot. I like to see who they get for a defensive coordinator. I like that hire a lot, though, of Chad Morris to Arkansas. We'll see who they get defensively. Now, Randy Shannon is out there, right? He didn't get a job. I know that they didn't hire him back I take that back. Randy Shannon's at UCF.
Yeah.
That was a good hire there. I mean, Randy Shannon ends up at UCF with Josh Heupel, so that's a good hire. But It'll be interesting to see what they do with defense, but I like Chad Morris and what he brings to Arkansas. We'll see. And there's another wild card in all of this, too. What's going to happen to Shea Patterson? I mean, he's a decent quarterback. I mean, he's a pretty decent quarterback. And you wonder about where Hugh Freeze does end up. Does Shea Patterson end up? Are they a package deal? So it'll be kind of interesting to see. I mean, they took those restrictions away, his transferring, from what I understand. I mean, you know, if Hugh Freeze were to end up at Tennessee, does he bring Shea Patterson with him?
Yeah, that's a good question. And Hugh Freeze can, if I'm not mistaken, he doesn't have any kind of restrictions on becoming a coordinator, correct? So he can just come in right away.
He has a show cause for 1 year as a head coach, but he can – I think they can apply for – there's no way it happens.
Yeah.
Let's just say I just don't – you know, you'd have to go through Greg Sankey. I think that the league would have an issue with it. It would be a terrible, terrible look. There's no way that happens. That's a Clay Travis thing. I got to be honest with you. Hugh Freeze – I'd be stunned if Hugh Freeze ends up on a staff at the SEC, you know, this quickly.
Well, before I get to a couple other questions I have for you, you're going to recognize his voice. I'm going to play a short little 7-second clip for you, and it's how I have done so far on the show. This was a response to how I've been doing from one of the guests on the show, and when asked or provoked, I guess, to comment on how I've done on the show so far. I didn't get a "you're doing great" or "you're doing bad." This was the response I got.
Well, it's nice to not be yelled at, but I, you know, it was nice not to be, you know, told, no, that's not it.
Did you catch who that was?
It's my boy David Moulton, who I'm actually about the way the crow flies, I'm about a mile and a half from his house right now. And they got bounced off the air today. They were down at Tiburon in Naples, where Greg Norman is having his golf tournament. I used to do my show down there, and they went down there to do their show down there, and they got bounced off the air at 7 o'clock due to some technical difficulty. So, you know, he's glad he didn't have me yesterday. I would have been yelling at him.
All right, now, before I let you go, Big Dog, we talked to Brent Sobolewski about it a little bit ago, too. I love having that guy. I'm glad I got to sneak that guy in here. But your situation at Cleveland, how do you feel? Sashi Brown out, Hugh Jackson still in as of now. How you feeling?
Well, it's disturbing to see them say that Hugh Jackson's going to be back for 2018, that they can make that decision already without even having a GM. Shouldn't the new GM have to make that decision? And I tweeted something earlier when it was, you know, they asked Hugh Jackson if he felt like he won the power struggle with Sashi Brown. And he said, no, he didn't feel like, you know, he won a power struggle. And I said, naturally, he didn't feel like he won. That guy doesn't win anything. How would he win a power struggle? So, I mean, you know, if you were Mike Pettine, who went 7-9, he had Cleveland at 7-4 at one point, that his first season, and finished 7-9. Then his second year went 3-13, and he lost his job. And that was the guy that got, you know, Johnny Manziel forced upon him. If you're Mike Pettine and you're saying, really, Hugh Jackson's getting a third year? He can go 1-30 and get a third year? You got to be kidding me. But, you know, that's the dysfunction that is that program. I claim I'm disavowing any allegiance to them until they win again.
I can't blame you there. Hey, they're winning the race for the first pick in the draft, though, so that's cool. That's good.
Doesn't matter. They don't know what to do with it. Yeah. Right now they got 1-7. They got 5 picks in the first 2 rounds. They have 6 additional picks in the draft next year, so they'll have 13 picks. And they are $100 million under the salary cap for next year.
Wow. I knew that it was a big number. I didn't realize it was that freaking big. My goodness.
100. Well, you got a bunch of knuckleheads that you pay nothing to.
Yeah, it's true.
But, you know, I saw a mock draft that said they were going to take Lamar Jackson with the number one pick overall. Who would think that could happen, Lamar Jackson? The CBS mock draft has them taking Lamar Jackson 1 and Saquon Barkley 7. And then you put Saquon Barkley and Lamar Jackson in an offense with Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman and David Njoku and a pretty decent offensive line, and all of a sudden, you know, now you can lose 34-31 instead of, you know, 34-10.
I thought you were about to get positive on me for a second.
No.
I guess in Cleveland terms, that is.
Although
positive.
They are actually playing pretty good defense. I mean, Greg Williams is a defensive coordinator there, former defensive coordinator at Tennessee and several other places, head coach at Buffalo. I would not have a problem seeing him get an opportunity to be the head coach there. And I'm also interested to see, not that I'm a proponent of this there, but, you know, Jeff Fisher was in the news this past week, and there's a lot of talk about Jeff Fisher chomping at the bit to get back in. And with these jobs that now start to open up, including New York, you wonder whether or not Jeff Fisher will get a look.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot for Jeff Fisher. I've been a Titans fan my whole life. Ed, what do you think about that?
I like Jeff a lot, but I'm jaded because I know him personally, and
yeah.
My daughter worked for his management company, and we did some stuff together, so I have a soft spot for him. And I've always said about Jeff, he'll take a 5-11 team and make it 8-8. He'll take an 11-5 team and make it 8-8. So, you're always going to be like a middling type team with him.
Yeah.
But I hope he gets a chance to do something.
And finally, I have to ask you this question. It's okay to be wrong. For some reason, when I ask you this, I have a feeling we're going to disagree. But I've been irked about the people saying that it's not. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Die Hard, it happens around Christmas time. But does that make it a Christmas movie? No. I think that the theme of the movie has to be Christmas for it to be a Christmas movie. I think that if Christmas time is when the movie is, but the theme of the movie isn't Christmas, that it is not a Christmas movie. So I'm going to say Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. Now, like Home Alone, that's a Christmas movie. Die Hard, not a Christmas movie.
Well, see, your credible opinion on the movie right there, it's a credible opinion, is kind of ruining my thought of it being a Christmas movie. It's my favorite Christmas movie, and...
Die Hard is your favorite Christmas movie? Really?
I like it, and it's a Christmas movie. No, I like the tease that it is. I'm just teasing around. I do think it is a Christmas movie, but I do love the movie. It's not my favorite Christmas movie, but I'm just teasing about that.
I thought you'd be like a Bad Santa kind of guy.
Santa.
I think you go with one of those Bad Santa 2, or I think you'd be a Billy Bob Thornton Santa Claus kind of guy.
It's funny how well you know me, because Bad Santa actually is my favorite Christmas movie. It is the funniest Christmas movie around, in my opinion. It's up there with Christmas Vacation and all that stuff. But Bruce Willis saving Christmas is the best Christmas story of all time.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going down that path with you. I'm kind of it's a Wonderful Life kind of guy, but I'm old man, so it's a different thing.
I understand. All right, Big Dog, I appreciate it. I got to get to some of the other guys we got coming on. I still got Matt Scalise and Big Ant coming on here in a little bit, so I'll tell them that you're doing good on the beach.
I'm just going to tell you, of all the shows I've ever been on, this is one of them.
Well, we're in
on it.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much, Big Dog.
All right, man. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Tom Abraham joining us here on the Tony Mack Experience is the lame way of calling this show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to set you up for the top of the four. We got Matt Scalise coming in. Anthony Heron will join us right here on the Tom Abraham Show. Sports Radio 730, 1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio 730, 1039, The Ump. The Ump.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Wendy's Quarter Pound Double Stack, back for a limited time in the 4-for-4. I talked about Mike Mitchell's reaction to the NFL's discipline policy yesterday and the tweets that he dropped. Honestly, I thought that was going to be it, but I was wrong. When the media met with him at his locker, you could tell there was something he wanted to get off his chest.
This is football. If you want to see flag football, then let's take our pads off. That would make it easier for me, because now I don't got to wear heavy shit. But give us flags for me to pull off, because that way I know what we're playing.
And there was a lot more where that came from. He covers a lot of ground, and he does it because there is a lot of ground to cover, and because he's passionate, because he's old school, and because he's frustrated and sick of all the confusion regarding the rules. I get that. At the same time, the game is faster. The game is more dangerous than ever before, and Monday night was ugly, and not in a good way. I'm Jim Rome.
Wendy's Double Stack is back in the 4-for-4 with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef, which means you can get the Double Stack, the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, or the Crispy Chicken BLT, along with four nuggets, small fries, and a small drink, all for just $4. And it's only around for a limited time, so you better hurry and get to Wendy's today. That's a deal so good, it can't be beat. No, I said beat, not beep.
Sorry, man.
Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Canada.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions. Like running late for work, a broken alarm, creepy parking spots. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone. And right now, buy any Duralast Gold or Platinum battery and receive a $25 Fandango gift card by mail. Limit one. Get in the zone.
Tom Luganbill here for Woody Anderson Ford. When I was in the Tennessee Valley, one of the things that impressed me the most was the quality of the people. People like Bobby White and his team at Woody Anderson Ford. And now you can experience the tremendous new service lanes and showroom at Woody Anderson Ford, at Jordan and Sparkman, or just stop by for breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. And in Madison, visit Woody Anderson of Madison on Hughes Road, just south of 72. Like a great college football tradition, always there, Woody Anderson Ford.
I'm back. That little voice inside your head. While you're out getting gifts, don't forget you or your office. Because now at Office Depot Office Max, you can save 20% on regular priced office supplies, furniture, and more. Get your 20% coupon at officedepot.com/radio or mention this ad in store. A gift for them, a gift for you.
Taking care of business.
Offer ends 12/9. Excludes tech, coffee, appliances, ink, and toner. See coupon for details.
It's time for some straight talk. You have their unlimited plan. So why do you keep running out of high-speed data? Never run out again with Straight Talk's new Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get all the 4G LTE data you want, all high speed, and all for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks, only from Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Video typically streams at DVD quality. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
Welcome back. Tom Abraham Show here on Sports Radio 730 at 103.9 The Ump. If you just missed it, the big dog was on. We'll play that in the rapid rewind here in just a little bit at the in the 5 o'clock hour. not there yet. We're almost to the halfway point, the 4 o'clock hour. And Grumpy called before Tom got on the show, and he brought up a good point. It's a tab I had open, and I meant to get to this, and I hadn't gotten to it just yet. But I will now add the Super 7, the Alabama Super 7, kicked off last night. That's right. I should have brought it up yesterday, and I didn't. And I had it open today to bring it up, and I forgot. The Super 7 State Football Championships kicked off last night. I hate that it starts with 7A, but it did. It started with 7A last night. Hoover took it home 48-20 over Miguel Tulin. And I think today, right this morning, we had my goodness. We had 3A, excuse me. It's hard to read. I got to get closer. I've got contacts in, and I can't even read the screen. But we had Randolph County High School and Hillcrest High School. And we had Hillcrest take it home 26-14. There's a lot more football coming out of there. That's just the first two games. I still hate that it starts with 7A. But you got the 1A championship this afternoon. It started at 3 o'clock. I don't have a live score update for you because high school football doesn't necessarily work its way up like that. And then the 5A championship is tonight between St. Paul's Episcopal School and Briarwood Christian. That is tonight at 7. And then tomorrow you got 3 more games with 2A, 4A, and 6A. I'm not going to name the teams because we're getting close to running out of time. But that's going to do it for the second hour, the Tom Abraham Show. Now, the reason why I couldn't get to it, Grumpy, and I tried to bring this up to you a minute ago. You were trying to get out of here so you could listen to the big dog on here, and I don't blame you. But I've got, when I prep for the show, I go all in. I got all these tabs open, all these stories up on two computers, and I don't just read off the stories. I type up my own stuff, and you got to prepare, and I'm going over all this stuff. And what I've learned so far in getting into radio, the best way to do radio, well, number one, over-prepare. I'm doing a 4-hour show. You prepare for 6 or 7. And I have little time to prepare, but I come in here and I knock that out of the park. And also, expand on what you're talking about. Go as in-depth as you can before you start to lose interest. And that's what I try to do. I try to make it fun. I try to get in-depth. And then when the big dog comes on, I realize how in-depth I can still go and how entertaining I can be. The big dog has nailed that down in his 20-plus years in radio. So we're going to give that a shot in the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Matt Scalise will be the first up, followed by Anthony Heron of the Pac-12 Network. Coming up in the next hour of the Tom Abraham Show right here on Sports Radio 730-1039 Beyond.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews.
Look, Mom! Uncle Phil got us a drum set!
That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels for the deals you won't find anywhere else. Go to Priceline.
Express deals are different. Exact airline or hotel shown only after...
There's a lot of people telling you who to vote for, but Alabama has only two senators, and Senator Richard Shelby says he absolutely will not vote for Roy Moore. We need our two senators to work together. But Senator Shelby says, quote, "I don't believe that Roy Moore would work in the Senate to build the nation, build the state." Shelby says Moore thrives on controversy and that the controversies that surround Roy Moore only hurt Alabama's business image. Roy Moore's extreme views are bad for Alabama business. His divisiveness will make Washington worse. His immoral conduct, disturbing. So listen to Senator Shelby announce what he is doing.
Incumbent upon me to vote Republican, but to write in some distinguished person's name rather than Judge Moore. I will not be voting for Judge Moore.
Republicans are following Richard Shelby and not voting for Roy Moore. Look for our TV ad showing Republicans across Alabama who have decided to vote for Doug Jones.
I'm Doug Jones, running for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Doug Jones for Senate.
The success of any team is a strong foundation, and fixing the small problems before they become big problems. And the same is true with your house. Kennedy & Son Structural Solutions is the team to tackle all your home repair needs. Waterproofing, crawl spaces, lintel lift repairs, and more with quality service and a lifetime guarantee. Kennedy & Son says, if we can move it, we can fix it. Call the right play and call them today. 256-964-3929 or online at DonKennedyAndSons.com.
One of the things about the humidor is it's probably got the greatest variety of any tobacco shop in Huntsville.
I come down here because the variety of accessibility of the different types of cigars that they have.
Great selection of cigars, and they have the best selection of cigars around at a good price.
Buy it, smoke it here, hang out with the guys.
Great pipe selection, great tobacco selection. They do a great job of taking care of the customer, and that's what counts.
The Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest. Now open Sundays, noon to 6.
I believe in you. Just four simple words. But to a child in need, they mean the world. When you become a child sponsor with Save the Children, you're saying, I believe in you. You're worthy of good nutrition, quality health care, and education. Visit sponsor.savethechildren.org today.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home. Sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military serving 7,000 miles away gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit USO.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
Listen to The Ump anywhere you go in the whole wide world by downloading the Ump app powered by TOC Sports. Go to your smartphone and search for WUMP 730 right now. It's free, it's fun, it's funky.
Shelter Pets would do anything to get their friends adopted. So Shelter Pets are taking matters into their own paws and making social posts of their very own. Everything these adorable pets touch turns into social post magic. Nudging a ball selects a background. Clicking an emoji adds one. Tapping the keyboard hashtags it. Of course, these posts are adorable. They're made by amazing shelter pets. Start a story. Adopt.
To battle is to fight. To struggle. To overcome. And ultimately, for the Marine Corps, it means to win. There is no alternative. It's not just a statement of intent. It's a promise to our nation.
WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. Are you ready, Alabama?
Alabama!